I mean, how many ever wondered, you know, like someone said, well, God told me this. And you're sitting there like, okay, like, can you explain it? Like, God told you this. Like, did he just show up in your car in the morning and kind of say, like, do this? Or, you know, did you have, like, you know, did you have this big booming voice somewhere behind you? How in the world do you know if God's telling you something or not? Anybody ever wondered that? Anybody? Some of us? And some of us, I guess, oh, I'm talking to a lot of spiritual people today. Hey, you want to preach? You get, no, I'm just playing. But see, and see, you've got all, we've got all these things, you know, and so many times we talk about, oh, this person says I heard God, or this person says, you know, God said this, or how many of you ever really, like, you had to make a decision or something was going on in your life, and you, like, really, you, like, I need to know what God wants me to do. But it was just so frustrating. Because you thought, okay, maybe he wants me to do this, but then maybe he wants me to do that. But, okay, I think it's this, but I might be making it up, and it, maybe I just really want it, so that's why I think he's saying that. Or anyone ever been there besides me? Been there, done that one? And so we were talking last week, and we started teaching on hearing God's voice, or understanding what God's saying to us. So the first scripture I want you to turn to, we're just going to run a little bit of review. So I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. So Hebrews chapter 8, 11. I took our podium up to the encounter and forgot to bring it back. So they get to use it, which is good and stuff. And so I'll just have to make do with the chair. But it's all right. I've preached in a lot of places and done a lot of things with preaching. So I can handle it. I'm flexible. All right, Hebrews chapter 8, 11. Everyone there? Now some people are still flipping. I can hear some pages. That's okay. Just make sure I work to get there. Hebrews chapter 8, 11. This is God speaking prophetically. And it says, and they shall not teach. Well, actually, let's start in verse 10. It says, I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all will know me from the least to the greatest of them. I want everyone to say tonight, all will know me. I want you to say it again, all will know me. And see, God's desire, right from, if I was to take you back to Genesis in the Garden of Eden, we saw, and we took a look at that a little bit last week, that God had a relationship with man and with woman, with Adam and Eve, where he came and he talked to them. He came and he spoke to them. They would talk to him, he would talk to them. But then when sin came into the picture, sin cut man off from being able to hear God's voice and be able to talk to God. So God could still get through to people, but it was on a very select level. He could talk to Abraham, or he would talk to David, or he would talk to Jeremiah or Isaiah or one of the prophets. And then they would have to turn around and tell everyone else what God was saying. But see, God shows us here what his ultimate desire was. His ultimate desire was not that just a couple people would know him. But his desire was that everyone would know him. I want you to say it again. All would know me. I want you to say, God wants me to know him. See, it says here, he said, I don't want them, just a couple, teaching his fellow citizen, everyone teaching his brother, saying, know the Lord. Now, it's not saying here that someone can't teach us and help us to know God better. What he's saying is that instead of God knowing, let's say Heidi, for example, instead of God can't know Heidi, so instead I'm going to be the one who kind of tells her what God's saying. Well, God's saying this, God's saying that, God's saying this, God's saying that. Now, as we know, there's a place when I'm preaching where I may speak on behalf of God, but you know what? God wants to speak to you just as much too. And see, the point being, okay, well, where does that tie in with it saying, know me? Well, how many know what? If you want to get to know somebody, what do you have to do? You have to spend time with them. Now, I'm going to give you the exact same visual. Phil, come here for a second. Abby, you can come here. Are you going to the bathroom? Okay, you're turning the light on. All right. Now, Abby and I are spending time together. Well, are we getting to know each other better? Besides, I know what his hand feels like when it's on my shoulder. That's about it. Easy now. All right. So, and see, so we're together. But see, how do we really start getting to know each other? By talking, right? Have you ever tried to get to know somebody and they just didn't want to talk? Never, huh? They don't want to say absolutely anything. How are you doing today? Fine. How was your week? Good. You know, you pull it on your parents every once in a while. You know what? How was your trip? You've been gone for 3 months. Oh, it's fine. You know, it's just like, what do you mean fine? Like, there's got to be more than fine. But see, how are you going to get to know God if you don't talk with Him? Now, see, God's desire, we've been preaching for the last number of weeks about what's our number one, what's our number one priority as a Christian? Now, someone can tell you, know it, tell me what, to know God, right? It's not to do all this stuff for God, but it's to actually know God. Because when we know God, then in turn we will automatically just do stuff for Him, but it won't be in our own strength, it'll be in His strength. So our number one priority is to know God. But then, if you don't talk to Him, are you going to get to know Him any better? I'll try this side. If you don't talk to Him, are you going to get to know Him any better? You're not going to get to know Him any better if you don't talk to Him. Now furthermore, because this is where the rubber really meets the road, say Phil and I are getting together. You ever talk to someone on the phone and it goes like this? Let's just say, Ashley is not the most super talkative person in the world. I think she's mad at me for pointing her out in front of everybody. But just imagine, Ashley calls me and she goes, "Hello, Pastor Brennan. How are you doing today?" "Oh, that's good. I'm doing fine. You know what happened at school today? I went to class and then I came home. It was really interesting." And then, don't worry, she's never had a conversation with me like this. "And then I came home and I watched some television and now I'm just eating my supper and and it's really good. I'm making some, I don't know, what do you cook, Will? Nothing, you don't cook yet? What do you cook, Will? Then tell me something. Rice and peas. Okay, I'm cooking some rice and peas." And she says, and something else. Come on, we can't just have rice and peas. What else are we having? Curry what? Curry roti? Okay. So we got some roti and some. That sounds good. If you ever want to cook and send something over, you know, feel free and go for it. You want to bless your pastor, it'll be fine. And see, so she said, "I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I got to go now, so I'll talk to you later. Bye." And all through the conversation, I'm like, you ever tried to talk when someone wouldn't stop talking? Well, you know what? A lot of us, we kind of, okay, Pastor Brandon says, "I need to know God. I'm going to talk to Him." So we start talking to Him. But you know what God's like in heaven? He's just like, he's trying to get a word in edgewise, but you never shut up and listen to Him. All you do is just talk, talk, talk. "I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Please do this, please do this. Please let me marry him. Please let this happen. Please let that happen." I mean, it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And he's going, he's just like, "I'm not trying anymore. I'm not doing this." And stuff like that. And thankfully, he doesn't give up on us as quickly as we give up on ourselves or on other people. But see, you don't really even get to know someone by talking to them. You really get to know someone by listening to them. See, God doesn't need to know more about you. He already knows you 100%. He knows more about you than anyone else knows about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows that every little detail of your life. He doesn't need you to talk to Him more so He can get to know you better. What we need to learn to do is we need to learn to listen to Him so we can get to know Him better. See, but God said, "My desire is that they all would know me." I want you to say it again. They all would know me. Does that mean you? Does that mean every single one of us, doesn't it? God's desire is that every single one of us would know Him. But we can't get to know Him if we don't learn to listen to Him. Which means we've got to learn to understand how and when God is speaking to us. Amen? I was just Thursday night, I went down for a consolidation seminar. Consolidation is part of the G12 vision, which is what we're moving into. We win people to Jesus and they're consolidated or made solid in their faith and they're discipled and they're sent out to do the same thing. And we have encounter retreats and school leaders and all these things we're bringing into place. So I'm down there. Well, they had the church that really started this whole thing is in Bogota, Colombia. And in 1988, there are about 2,000 people and now they're at 400,000 plus. And stuff like that. So God is just moving powerfully. So they brought a couple up from Bogota. Well, they couldn't speak English at all. They just speak Spanish. Now we have a little bit of a problem here. Because I don't speak Spanish at all. I don't know anything in Spanish except Espíritu Santo. which is Holy Spirit. And that's just because they say it so much. I finally feel, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just like that. That is all I know in Spanish. Well, see, they could get up, and it's frustrating some. So you know what they do? They bring in a translator and stuff like that. But if the translator wasn't there, they could be talking. But if I didn't understand how to pick up what they were saying and able to understand and decipher the words, they could be talking to me all the time, and I would never be catching what they're saying. And that's why it's so important for us to learn how God speaks to us, when God speaks to us, how to understand just that God is talking to me. And see, you learn how to do that, and then all of a sudden, because you can now hear God, you start getting to know God better, and because you're getting to know Him more, then everything in your spiritual life just starts to work properly, because knowing God is the gas that makes the whole thing run. But if you never figure out how to hear God's voice, if you never figure out how to figure out what God is saying to you when He's talking to you, then you're messed up. How many of us know that feeling? I got my hand up. Sometimes it's just like, I don't want to put my hand up to anybody. It's just like, you know, it's okay. It's okay to be honest in church, amen? It's okay to be real in church, isn't it? So if you messed up, you messed up. You don't have to worry about it. It's not like we got a bunch of perfect people in here. Is anyone here perfect? Oh, we got one hand. Okay. But, you know, sometimes people go running around looking for the perfect church. You know, they bounce from church to church to church to church to church. Like, well, I just haven't found the perfect one yet. And I'm like, well, the problem is, if it was perfect, the minute you showed up, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. Why? Because nobody's perfect. You're not going to find the perfect church. You're not going to find the perfect place. You know what you need to find? You need to find the right place that God has called you to be in. And then somebody needed to hear that. Stuff like that. Because you're always going to find something wrong, man. You go one place and, you know, enough people didn't say hi to you. You go somewhere else and the service went too long. You go somewhere else, the service is too short. You went somewhere else. You couldn't take the guitar player's singing. I mean, you know, it's just like, and I'm kind of joking, but we get even more serious stuff in there. But listen, it's to find out, God, where do you want me to be? And then just plug in. And so, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, you get in a relationship. You know, maybe we got several married couples in here, mostly dating or perhaps some engaged, you know, and stuff like that. And the first time there's any type of trouble or conflict, you're just like, fine, it's over, bye. Come on, we used to do that in grade 6. You know it's true. You know it's true. You know, say I really like Christina, so I can't go tell her myself. Right? So I have to tell Phil. Phil, can you tell Christina that I like her, please, and find out if she likes me? And so Phil can go, and you know how it is, and then we're going out for 2 weeks, and then after 2 weeks, it's like, okay, we're not going out anymore. But see, that's how a lot of us treat our relationship with God and our relationship with church. It's very shallow. You know, if you know, a lot of you here, you're called to Church Without Limits. This is your church home. I guarantee you, there will be times where you don't get along with everybody. There will be opportunity to be offended. There will be times when people will say mean things to you. I know it's hard to take, but it's true. But see, if you just make that choice that I'm committed to work this out no matter what comes, then you just keep growing. And you know what? How many know that you don't have a true friendship until after the first argument? You know what I'm saying? It's like everyone's all great and, you know, friendship, but stuff like that. My best friends are the ones that I know I can disagree with and they can disagree with me on certain things, but it doesn't affect the level of our friendship because there's a deeper commitment to each other. I don't know why I got off on that, but somebody needs to hear that. You can't just, every time a little bump comes in the road or a little problem arises or something happens, just kind of go, okay, I give up. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going anymore. Like, you know, stick it out. Stick it out. Take a commitment time. I mean, for example, like we tell people when you're giving life to God, like, give it 6 months. They'll be like, okay, I'm going to try this for 2 weeks, and if it doesn't work and my whole life turn around in 2 weeks, I'm not doing this anymore. Give God 6 months. Give God a year. Say, I'm going to do this for 6 months. I'm going to do this strong for a year. Some of you, Christina was giving some good word on tithing tonight. And you tried to tithe for 2 weeks, and nothing happens. You're just like, it doesn't work. I'm not doing it anymore. You know, it doesn't. It's just like that. Listen, do it for 3 months and see what happens. Do it for 6 months. Just commit and say, I'm doing this for 6 months. Give it some time to work. It took some time to get you in the situation you're in right now, didn't it? You didn't get there in 1 week. You didn't get there in 2 weeks. Some of you, it took you several years to get yourself in the mess you're in right now. And you had to work hard to get in that mess. And then you want God to fix it in a week. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You want God just to like God's not like Puff the Magic Dragon, you know, he just comes and tap and poof, everything just turns back to normal. God wants to work with us. God wants to work with you. And if you have issues and you have situations and stuff in your life, if you will commit to work with Him, it will get worked out. I guarantee it. But you cannot expect issues and things that maybe took months or years of developing to just get solved just like that sometimes. You've got to give God some time and some effort. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
So anyways, this is one of the reasons, I know you think I'm totally off topic, but this is one of the reasons why it's so important to be able to hear God. Because when you're hearing God, it doesn't matter what people are doing, it doesn't matter what people are saying around you, it doesn't even necessarily matter what your circumstances are. If you know you have a word from God, you know you've heard from God, then you just stick on it and you move forward with it. So how do we know if we're hearing from God? How do we know what's happening? See, and we talked about this a bit last week, because you know what a lot of us look for? You know, if God was speaking, come on, I mean, especially in the first couple, I mean, if God was going to speak to you, how did you imagine it was going to be? We got some lights up here, okay, so you got some lights. Come on, what else if God is talking to you, what else is there going to be? A deep voice. Amen. God does not have a high voice. Hallelujah. Okay, what else? A James Earl Jones voice. Yes, this is CNN or whatever else. So, yes, we got a James Earl Jones. What else? Come on, be honest. What were some of the things that kind of stuck out in our mind? Rumbling. Thunder. Lightning. What'd you say? A burning bush. That's right. Something's got to catch fire if God's going to talk to me. You know, it's just like, I don't know, there's no bushes around here, but I'll get some. You know, like, it's like we get all, and because you know what happens? The problem, we're looking for all these huge things, like bright lights. We're looking for, you know, the deep voice. We're looking for whatever else, and it's just like, we're looking for all this stuff. But you know what? That's not the way God is going to talk to us. Now, last week we talked about 5 ways that God speaks to us. Who remembers what they were? So remember, what was number one? Come on, pull your notes out. Through His Word. So the number one way that God talks to us is through His Word. Everyone say, through His Word.
Through His Word.
You can go get some water. It's okay. All right. What was the number two thing? The inner witness of the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit inside of you. So everyone say, the Holy Spirit in me. Now listen, I want you to catch something. We'll talk about that a little more later. But it's the Holy Spirit in me, not the Holy Spirit outside of me. And what I mean by that is, most of us fear, if God's going to talk to me, you're like listening for a voice. Okay, God, I need to know, I pray you talk to me right now. Yeah. And your mom shouts up the stairs, like, Brendan! It's like, oh, no! That's like, you're ruining it! You know, it's just like, but see, it's funny, but that's what a lot of us get caught up in. We're looking for a voice. Now, I probably told this story at church before, but my mom tells me when I was about 3 or 4, you know how some little kids are just really inquisitive and they just ask all kinds of questions? Yeah, I was one of those kids. And so I asked my uncle, I'm like, I don't know why. I was asking about, you know, and they're like, why? You're like, well, because of this. Well, why, though? Because of this. Well, why is that? You know, just why? You know, I guess they learned a new word, why, and so they just figure they're going to use it as much as they can. So finally, my Uncle Bob got fed up with me. You know, it's still not in a bad way, but he's like, Brendan, why don't you go ask God? You figured that might shut me up. So I said, okay, Uncle Bob. So I left the room. I came marching in about 5 minutes later. I said, Uncle Bob? He said, yes. I said, I asked God, but He didn't say anything. But see, that's what a lot of us are looking for. We're looking for this big outside voice. But it's the Holy Spirit in you. Everyone say, the Holy Spirit in me. All right, what was number 3? What'd you say? Through others. Okay, you said it really quickly. That's right. God will speak to us at times through others. How many of you have ever had God speak to you through someone else at some point or another? You've had someone share something with you or speak something in your life. You realize that's God talking to me through this person. Amen. All right. What was number four? Dreams and visions. Everyone say dreams and visions. God will at different times speak to us through dreams or through visions. Actually, tell you a really cool story. God, because I think I mentioned to you last week that God just doesn't really speak to me through dreams. I mentioned something happened to me as a kid. You know what is the funniest thing? Last night, God spoke to me through a dream. I was at the encounter, and because you know, and you say, well, how do you know if God's talking to you through a dream, or how do you know if it was bad pizza? You know, just one of those dreams that's just like, oh boy, you know, how do you know? Well, the first thing you know is, the first thing that helps me is I remember it. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason to say it's God, but if I remember a dream, because I usually don't remember any of the dreams I have. You know, you ever had a really good dream, then you wake up, and it was good, but then you woke up, you couldn't remember it? Anyone besides me? Or you're having a really good dream, and then someone wakes you up, you're like, no! It's like, okay, if I go back to sleep, do you think I can start right where I left off, you know? It's just like, you know, no, it's not. But see, what happened was, I had this dream. But see, one of the big things we focus on in the Encounter Weekend is we focus on really walking in the freedom that Jesus had for us. Because see, all of us, if we receive Jesus, you know, our spirit gets born again, but there's still a lot of issues in our lives that hold us back. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's bitterness towards a parent for the way they treated us, maybe it's unforgiveness towards people. So a lot of us, if we saw ourselves in the spirit realm, we're like carrying around all this baggage. And Aubrey gets upstairs and says, come on, let's worship God. And you're like, I'm trying, but I got all this baggage on me. See, so one of the amazing things about the encounter is it's an awesome weekend. It's really intensive. And there's a real anointing on it where God just like, boom, 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 blows a lot of that baggage right off. And you don't have it anymore. And that's what a lot of people are up there right now are just getting. It's awesome. Well, see, God gave me this dream. And in this dream, I was in a house. It wasn't our house, but it was like, you know, I just had an awareness it was my house. And my family was there, and some of the people from CWL were there. Now, all of a sudden, it wasn't like I didn't realize when it happened, but all of a sudden I became aware that there were some people who had broken into our house. And they were harassing us, and they weren't letting us do everything we wanted to do. But they were letting us do some of the things we wanted to do. And so for some reason, we were just kind of coping or just living with what they were letting us do. And see, but all of a sudden, some dreams happen really quickly. All of a sudden, I realized, like, they've been here for 2 weeks and they aren't leaving yet. So all of a sudden, it occurred to me, why don't I call 911? Don't laugh at me, it's my dream. I don't make it up. It just happens, okay? And so I got my cell phone. Yeah, because they wouldn't let us talk on our cell phones. And it's just like that. And so we had to sneak calls on our cell. You know, dreams are kind of weird. So anyways, I snuck into the bathroom. I got my cell phone. I called 911. But I ended up at like the spiritual organization we're a part of. Don't ask me why that came in here. And so then I finally put me through to 911. I'm trying to get through a fine with the 911 lady, and I'm like, you know, there's robbers in our house. We need the police here right now. And she said, where do you live? And I said, you know, whatever. She's like, and she starts talking about all this other stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, this didn't happen on Rescue 911. I'm like, you're supposed to send the police. And it was, and so I'm literally sitting on the phone waiting to see if she's going to call the police. And then I finally put the phone down. I get back up, and I just saw my mom there in the dream. And I was like, I said, why are we letting these people stay in our house? Why don't we put them out? And it was right at that moment I woke up. And see, what God really spoke to me through that, because I woke up, I remembered it, and I just prayed for a second. I immediately knew what God was showing me. Is that a lot of us, we have junk and we have stuff in our lives that is hindering us from being everything that God has called us to be and is hindering us from doing everything that God has called us to do. But you know what? It's not bad enough. You know, we can still do some things. We can still, you know, get a certain distance with God. So you know what? So it's not bad enough that we go through the pain and the effort to deal with those situations and put them out. So you know what we learn to do? We learn to just live in it. And how many of us tonight here, we've allowed things to stay in our lives that we know are not godly, that we know are not of God, but we can still do enough to get by. And see, what God was speaking to me, that, and for all the people at the Encounter Retreat, and I believe also as I shared it with you tonight, with everybody here, is it's time for us to stop coping with stuff. It's time for you to stop putting up with things in your life that are not of God, that are not part of the blessing of God. You don't have to keep living with that depression. You don't have to keep living with that anger and that bitterness. You don't have to keep living with that insecurity or that hate of self or that mental attack that you always come under or that sickness or that disease. You can put it out of your life in Jesus' name with God's help. But see, no one else can put it out for you. You have got to do it yourself. You've got to make a decision that, you know what, God, I maybe don't even understand everything I'm supposed to do here, but I'm fed up with the way things are. I'm fed up with my life the way it is. I am not putting up with this anymore. I'm putting my foot down right here in Jesus' name, and I am dealing with these situations. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how much I have to go through. I'm going to walk in total and complete freedom and victory that God has for me. So you can do that, or you can choose just to do enough to get by. You know, initially it takes less effort to do just enough to get by. And there's a lot of you in this place tonight, and you are just coping. You are doing just enough to get by. It's okay. It's not so bad that you can't live. So you're cool. But you know what? Why do you keep letting all that junk run around your house? Why do you keep letting those intruders into your life? You don't have to live that way. With God's help, you can put it out. But you got to make a decision to do it. And then you go to God and He shows you how. You keep coming to CWL. You learn how. You get out to cell. You learn how. We have an encounter. You get out an encounter and you learn even more how. You just do whatever you have to do. All you have to really honestly do is show up and keep showing up. If you show up and you keep showing up, you will grow. If you are inconsistent, you come one week, you don't come the next week. You come to sell once in a while, you don't come. You're just back, but you're not going to grow. I've seen it too many times already. I haven't been a pastor that long. I've seen it. The people who are consistent grow. The people who are not consistent do not grow. And that's why the devil fights consistency so hard. You know, some people come and see the devil. Well, I don't think you really have to go to church every week. Oh, yeah, you sell. You know, I got work, and I got this, and I got... You know, but work isn't helping you get free, is it? Your Xbox isn't helping you get free, is it? Your television isn't helping you get free, is it? Your boys that you got to chill with aren't helping you get free, are they? No, not Jesus is the one who's going to do that. Sometimes they're the ones... Honestly, yeah, that's from God for somebody right now. You keep asking God to set you free, then you keep going back in the same environments that drag you down into bondage. Listen, if you're putting yourself in environments that are dragging you down, but you keep saying you don't want to go drag down, then stop putting yourself in those environments. It doesn't make sense to keep putting yourself in that environment and then expect that you're going to be able to somehow break free from it. So anyways, I was again a little off, but I just think God's speaking to different people's differences. So God speaks to us through dreams and visions. What's the last thing He speaks to us through? Circumstances. So God speaks to us through circumstances. Now what I want to focus on tonight, because we talked about and we touched on it last week, out of these five, which ones tend to be our favorites that we wish would happen? 3, 4, and 5. We wish God would speak to us through others. We wish He would speak to us through dreams and visions. You know, it's like, God, where do I go to school? We just wish like an angel would appear in our room and say, go to Ryerson. You know, it's just like, that would be easy. You know, it's just like, that would be like, all right, I got you, God. Let's go. Ryerson it is. And, you know, so we want visions. We want dreams. You know, or we want circumstances. God, whatever school I'm supposed to go to, let them accept me. Well, they might just accept you because you have good grades. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just learn to depend on other people. You know, we want Pastor, okay, God, tell Pastor Brendan to tell me what to do. No, you ask God what you have to do. Don't just depend on me. Don't just depend on somebody else. See, so what we see from that is the primary two ways that God wants to speak to us is number one, through His Word, and number two, through the Holy Spirit inside of us. So everyone say the word? The Holy Spirit in me.
So let's look at a little bit on the Word of God tonight. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The Word of God is the foundation for hearing from God. If you want to be good at hearing from God, you have got to start getting into this book. This thing is not supposed to be look pretty and sit on your shelf all week. You know, some of you come into church and your Bibles are so pretty. Oh, they look so nice. They still have all the gold on the pages. And when you flip it, it's that crisp flipping sound, you know. You know, it's just like, it's so, and the leather's so nice and there's no creases and it looks beautiful. You know what that says to me? It says to me that either you have a church Bible that you keep on the shelf to take to church to match your outfit, or that number two, you don't use it. Hey, look, if you want to match a Bible to your outfit, go for it. I'm not going to complain. You want to have a red one, a black one, a blue one. If you want, it probably looks sharp. You know, some people can pull that off. My brother did that once. He had some matching Bibles for stuff. So I don't have a problem with you if you want to do that. But see, you know what it says to me about a lot of people? If your Bible looks too pretty, it's because you're not using it. This thing is not supposed to sit on a shelf and look pretty. This thing is supposed to be read every single page. You look at my Bible, I write in it, I underline stuff, I make notes in the margins, I star things to remind me about it, stuff like that. Man, if you saw Aubrey's Bible, every time you get this man a Bible, within 8 months, like Revelations is missing. It's like, turn to James. Aubrey's like, yo, I can't turn to James, man. I lost it 2 weeks ago, yeah? It's just like, yeah, it's just like, why? Because he uses it so much. Now, we might have to work a little bit on caring for it a little more and taking a little bit of care. You can't just throw it around, you know what? Well, not that he throws his Bible around. But, you know what? I would rather have someone who wears out Bibles by using them than someone who has one that looks so nice and pretty. But you know what the problem with a lot of us is? We've turned this into a religious book. You know, we watch those stupid vampire movies. It's like, if you got a Bible, the vampires will run away. It's like, so it's just like, this is like some powerful, magical thing. Like, you know, now I remember hearing some guys talk about it one time, and, you know, I appreciate that at least they had a little bit of respect, but honestly, it didn't make a lot of sense overall. Because they're talking about, yo, man, they're like, you know, I'm not as, you know, I think they're talking about smoking up and stuff. Like, yo, I'm not as bad as this guy. This man rolls his spliffs with pages of the Bible. And I'm like, so what? Like, you're rolling a spliff. That's the problem. Whether you use a Bible, you use a phone book, you use Harry Potter, like, whatever you use, it doesn't matter. It's like someone who won't cuss inside a church, but will cuss outside of a church. Like God's inside the church, but he's not outside to hear you. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, he's everywhere, baby. He's not just here in this nice, pretty little building. Now, I appreciate the respect for the building, but why not have respect for what God wants to make his temple, which is you? And allowing that junk to come out of your mouth, or allowing that junk to go into you. See, we got our priorities all messed up. This is not some super spiritual religious book. This is something we should honor. This is something we should respect. It's God's Word. But this is something that we should be using every single day. One of the things that God showed me a little while ago, and it helped change so much of how I heard Him, is He said, a lot of times, He said, people want to hear me. He says, Brennan, you want to hear me. He says, but my foundation for speaking to you is this Word. He said, I want to speak to you through this book. He said, but if you don't read it, you don't know what's in it, how can I speak to you? And I'll turn that on you tonight. If you don't read this book, if you're not into it, God's not going to be able to get through to you. Because this book is the foundation for hearing from God. This is the foundation. The more you want to hear from God, the more on point you want to be with God, the more you got to get into this thing. See, we've got to start moving past doing things because we're religious. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I have to be spiritual, so spiritual people read their Bibles every day. So I need to do that too. No, that's not what it's about. You know what? If you're saying, I want to know God more, that's why I'm reading this thing. It has nothing to do with trying to impress Pastor Brendan or trying to impress your cell leader or trying to impress someone else with how spiritual you are. You could care less what anyone thinks. You're serious about getting into this thing. You say, I need to hear from God. Why? Because God knows everything and I don't. So if I get good at hearing from Him, whenever I don't know something, I can just go to Him and He'll tell me whatever it is, whether it's school, business, family, friends, relationships, shopping, whatever it is. He can get through to me. But you gotta invest the time. You gotta put the time into this thing, into this book. You gotta get into it, and you gotta let it get into you. Listen, I'm glad you read for 5 minutes a day before you take your shower. But you know what? You read for 5 minutes a day, maybe God will talk to you for 5 minutes a day. Like, I'm not saying exactly, but you understand what I'm saying? It's like, come on, how many of you think that, you know, you meet the man or woman of your dreams and they want to talk to you for 5 minutes a day? How many think that's going to fly too well? I don't know, but no. It's not going to fly at all. But see, we talk, oh, I love you, Lord. I spend 5 minutes with you a day. Except I forget some days too, but it's okay, you understand. Oh, I didn't do it at all last week. I'm sorry. You know, it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, we got to get a little more serious about this thing. Because everything God asks us to do, He's not just like the great rule giver. You know, God just, like, some of us look at God like He just has fun making rules. You know, so that, like, you know, sometimes maybe you had parents, your parents made rules and they never made sense. Yeah, okay, I got some amens. I got some people excited about that one. But see, you know, say, well, why? Don't ask why, just do it. And it's just like, yeah, but I don't understand. Can you explain it, please? Why? Help me understand. You know, now some of you just maybe had a bad attitude and you need to repent. I don't know. But some of you, maybe you really just wanted to know why, and then you realized there was no reason at all for that. God's not like that. Let me give you an example. A lot of us think God says don't have sex before you're married because He doesn't want you to have any fun. Right? God's just trying to ruin your fun. And come on, we all know that if you're a Christian, you're a nerd anyways, right? You know, like, it's just like, and see, so it's just like, you know, and so it's just like, you know, and God doesn't want us to have any fun, and so God's trying to ruin your fun, and you know, if you, oh, you're one of those people, oh, you're waiting till you get married, you know, it's just like, virgin, da-da-da, you know, it's just like, you know, there's honest stupidness that goes on. Do you know why God said don't have sex before, until you're married? Alright, do you want a list? Let's start with number one, AIDS. Let's start with number two, syphilis. Let's start with number three, herpes. Let's start with number four, unwanted pregnancies. Let's start with number five, broken hearts and broken relationships. Let's start with number six, that you're so fragmented, you're so emotionally one with all these. Because the Bible says sex is not just mental, it's not just physical, but it's spiritual. And when you have sex with someone, you are becoming one flesh with them. And see, now if you add, so if I have sex with some girl over here, we become one. Well, beautiful girl over here, we become one. Oh, whoa, over here, we become one. Also, I'm like one with all these different people. Now, also, I want to get married, but the problem is I'm getting messed up. Why? Because I open my spirit up. Sex is, now listen, I don't want to scare you with this one, but listen to me tonight. Somebody need to hear this tonight. When you open yourself up spiritually to someone, you become one flesh. Everything that's in them spiritually comes into you. And everything that's in you spiritually goes into them. In other words, if they got demonic and demon stuff going on in their life, just swing the door wide open, baby. Say, come in me too. I'm not joking. See, so listen to me. God understood all this. So just like a father tells his son, you know, son, don't go on the 401. Because a truck's going to hit you. And I love you. I don't want it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm hamming it up a little bit. He's like, don't go on the 401. Oh, no. My dad's just trying to ruin all my fun. I want to go on the 401. I make my own decisions. He's just being religious and, you know, like stuff like that. You go on the 401, bam, you get hit. And what do you do? God, why'd you let this happen to me? Well, if you stayed off the road, it never would have happened in the first place. He told you not to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the Holy Spirit told me to bring up that example, and that way, God's not trying to ruin your fun. But see, all that starts hearing God. Starts with His Word. We've got to make a decision to get into this thing. See, if you could do anything tonight, you know, people call, yeah, I had enough people come up and tell me that was a good message. Now, I'm not saying don't do it. If you really want to come up and tell me it was a good message, great. If you thought it was a bad message, keep it yourself. You know, it'll be cool. So, you know, it's just like, but seriously, it's stuff like that. You know what I really want you to do? You know what's the best thing you can tell me? It's like, you know what, I listened to that message last week, I went out this week, and I heard God speaking to me. That is the best thing. A lot of people say a great message, but they never go and put it into practice. See, but it's going to take some work. You know, if you want to get serious with God, it's going to take some work. You're not just going to kind of cruise into this thing just because you one day want to. And the number one thing for hearing for God, you got to get serious about this book. You got to get serious about getting into it. You got to get serious about understanding it. Why? Because, well, first off, a lot of people, see, everything, this is the foundation for everything. If I think God told me something, you know, maybe I sensed it inside of me or whatever, I'll take it to this book. If someone comes up to me and says, you know, I have a word from the Lord for you, they can say what they want to say, but I always bring it back to the book. I can have a dream that seems like a really spiritual dream, but you know what ultimately I have to do? Take it back to the book. I can have a vision. I can have an angel appear in my room and say this and this and this and this and this, but you know ultimately what I have to do? You should be catching on by now. What do I ultimately have to do? I got to take it back to the book. I could have circumstances in my life. I could seem all the circumstances seem just to close the doors. I must be like, this is not working out. It must not be God's will. But ultimately, what do I have to do? See, this is the foundation. And this is the safety. This is the safety net. And what I mean by that, what? Anyone here ever been rock climbing? Or indoor, or, you know, where they fake rock climbing, you know, where it's not really rock, but, you know, you just, hey man, it's fun. You know, I remember one time at a youth camp I went to, they had like this inflatable mountain and you had to climb up it. It was soft. I don't know, it was interesting. But see, what do you wear when you do any type of rock climbing or fake rock climbing? You wear a safety harness, don't you? Why? Well, if you fall, it catches you, right? I remember I saw this crazy guy, and he decides to climb like this 500-foot cliff with no safety harness. He was world-renowned. I'm not sure. Well, he was obviously a good rock climber. I think maybe he got a little high in the altitude, and it affected his brain or something, because I wouldn't climb anything like that without a safety harness. But he did that. Now, you know, how many of you have seen when they're actually doing real rock climbing? You ever seen how they climb? Then they'll move up the harness. And then they'll climb, and then they'll move it up. Anyone ever done that? You ever been like really serious and done that? You move it up. Now, how many know when you're climbing, wouldn't it be a lot faster just to climb without moving up the safety thing? You could probably get a lot more done a lot quicker, couldn't you? But what would be the problem? It's a long way down. Amen. That's exactly what the problem is. See, it takes a little more time to get that safety harness in place, to get that stuff in place, but it's worth it. Well, see, the Word of God and having a knowledge of the Word of God, when we flow in things of the Spirit, when we start learning to hear from God, this is our safety harness. Why? Because it doesn't matter what comes if we know it's always got to line up with this book. Let me give you an example. Pastor Brennan, God showed me who I'm going to marry. Great! You know, that's good. So what's their name? Well, you know, whatever their name is and stuff like that. That's cool. So where'd you meet them? Well, I met them at the, at school and stuff like that. I'm like, cool. So Tommy, I'm like, what church do they go to? Well, they really don't go to church. Oh, okay. So I guess they're a believer who just maybe, you know, just hasn't really been, they just haven't been going to church. Well, maybe they don't have a church to go to. Well, I don't really think they're a Christian. But God told me that they're the one I'm supposed to marry. I would immediately look at you and say, no, he didn't. How could you say that? Who do you think you are to say that? No. Why? Because the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. In other words, that is one of the stipulations of God, that God's not going to send you to someone who doesn't follow God or doesn't know God for you two to be married. Oh, but I can go out with them, and I can tell them about Jesus, and I can bring them to church, and then they're going to become a Christian. No, no, no. Let God work in their life. Let them become a Christian on their own. Then maybe you can take a look at it. That's, I'm stepping on a couple toes here. That's okay. Your toes are just in the wrong place, because I'm standing right in the Word of God. Seriously. Because listen, God is always practical. And there have been so many, you don't understand how many times, especially ladies, let me talk to you for a second. Men learn very well the art of pursuing. And so one of the things we learn when we're pursuing, and that's not a bad thing, because listen, ladies, God has, you're a beautiful woman of God, and you don't need to run around trying to get a man. You let God bring your man to you. Amen, ladies? You don't even have to worry about it. You just let God bring him to you. You don't need to be the seeker. You're the one who's being pursued, and you just decide when you want to get caught. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, no, you're not catching me, and no, definitely not catching me. You can catch me. Okay, it's just like, but listen, we got to do stuff like that. And see, and listen, honestly, for a couple things, sometimes, especially because when you're dealing with godly guys and stuff, in the world, some guys just, we know. Anyways, it's just, anything goes. But you know what? There's something inside, if you just trust God, just allow the godliness inside of you to shine forth. Obviously, take care of yourself, do what you need to do, and trust God. Now, some people, Lord, I'm waiting here. Hello, have you forgotten me? It's just like, no, he hasn't. Trust him. You let yourself be caught. You wait and stuff like that. And see, how did I get on that? I had a point I was bringing to you because I was pursuing. Oh, yeah. That's exactly. Thank you. I knew you'd help me out. All right. See, but I've seen it happen so many times. I'm talking to ladies for a second. Guy likes you. God wants to be with you. All of a sudden, he realizes there's another man in your life named Jesus. So, he's like, all right, I can be cool with that. I'll go to church with her because she goes to church anyways. So he'll go to church with you. He'll, he might even start acting kind of spiritual. Might slip up a hand every once in a while. And, he might even go to the front to really make it look good. But you know what? As soon as he gets that ring on your finger, he's not coming back no more. You don't know how many times that happens. And it can go vice versa. That's why God says that kind of stuff, because he's protecting us. If your relationship with God is going to be... Listen, there are some people, maybe some of you in here, and I know I've dealt with lots of people, and one of the biggest heartaches in their life is they want to follow God, but their mate doesn't. They want to tithe, but their mate doesn't. They want to do this, but they don't. They want to share God's love with people, but they don't. Listen, wait for God's best. Wait for God's best. Wait for God's best. Pray. Trust God. But see, that's where we got to stick with the Word, because sometimes, different stuff can come in, but if we learn to go with the Word, we go through it. Let's look at a couple scriptures about the Word of God. Let's go to Psalms 119, 105. So I want everyone to say, the Word... Come on, you can do better than that. The Word is the foundation for hearing from God. Okay, Psalms 119, 105. Now, Psalms 119 is an amazing chapter that just talks about the Word of God. It's long, too. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. But I encourage you this week, read it. Now, some of you are like, wow, this thing is long. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I want everyone to say, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. In other words, God, if he's going, what do we use lamps for? Especially when we're on paths. To guide us, right? We got up at the encounter on Friday night, and It was a little more bush than we thought it was going to be. It's actually pretty nice, but you know, we got halfway up. And I got another Don story actually. Don and Joel and I rolled up in the car, and so we stopped at. How many of you have ever gone to a chip truck? Chip trucks make the best French fries in the whole world. If you go to cottage country, you know about chip trucks. So we stopped at a chip truck, and we're getting chips, and they had chicken rings. Anyone here ever heard of chicken rings? I never heard of chicken rings. Like not onion rings, but chicken rings. I don't like onion rings, but I thought, I can handle chicken rings. And so we're getting this up, and so Dawn's like, I really have to go to the bathroom. She's like, can you show me where the washroom is? Like, tell me where the washroom is? And the lady's like, oh yeah, there's a porta potty just around the corner. And Dawn goes, what is a porta potty? You know, she was driving. She's like, look, cows, I need pictures. I'll show my friend. She's a true blue Scarbarian. And so she didn't know there was anything beyond Meadowvale. You know, she just, everything past Meadowvale is just bush, you know, and they don't understand. There's a lot of stuff out here. It's not, yeah, and so anyways, so we get up there. And so we're like, okay, here's the girls' cabins. I think they were skunks and woodchucks. That's what the cabins were called. And the guys are like gophers and beavers or something. And there was like, where are the washrooms? I'm like, oh, they're in that one over there. And I saw a look from a couple people. You mean the washrooms are not in the same building as our building? I'm like, yeah, just through the bushes, you know, just that way, right through there. And I'm just like, it actually isn't as bad as it sounds. You know, I'm never going on an encounter again. It's just like, but see, and so they're like looking at me, they're like, Pastor Brandon, how are we going to get there in the dark? I thought, I actually didn't think about this myself. We're going to lose somebody in the bushes trying to get to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning. This isn't good. So I said, who brought a flashlight? Marlon puts his hand up. Praise God for Marlon. And who was on the ladies' side? I think it was Kelly. She puts her hand up. She brought a flashlight. So I'm like, great, we have a flashlight for the girls, we have flashlights for the boys. If you need to go to the washrooms in the middle of the night, get the flashlight. Why do you need the flashlight? Because if there's no light, you're not going to see. You're going to run into a tree or something. You know what I mean? Like you're going to run into something. And so you turn the light on, and then the light shows you which way to go, doesn't it? And it shows you, nope, don't go that way, and nope, don't step in that puddle, and okay, look out for that, and do this, doesn't it? But if you lose the light, what happens? You lose your way, don't you? And you're basically just left up guessing, hoping you make it the right direction. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If we lose the Word, we lose our way. If we lose the Word, we lose our light. And see, God wants to speak to us and to direct us by the light of His Word, just like a flashlight would show us which way to go and show us what direction to follow. God's Word is like a light that shows us which way to go and shows us what direction to follow. But the question I have for you tonight is, if you don't know what it says and you don't spend any time in it, how is God going to speak to you? See, a Bible that you don't read is like a flashlight with no batteries. It looks nice, it has all the right buttons, but it doesn't produce any light. But how many of us are walking around with a flashlight without batteries? And God wants to light our path. He wants to show us what to do in this situation. He wants to show us which way to go. He wants to show us how to live our life. But He can't if we don't give Him the batteries to do it. Y'all seeing this about the importance of getting into the Word? It's not just a religious exercise or religious experience. It is practical. You need to do it if you're going to get the job done. Let's look at another scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. All right, we're doing okay. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, everyone say all Scripture. Now what do you think? Does all Scripture mean all Scripture? Let me ask that again. Does all Scripture mean all Scripture? It does, doesn't it? It doesn't just mean some Scripture. It doesn't just mean the parts you like. It says all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So what it's saying, first of all, it says all scripture is inspired by God, which means what? God inspired or ultimately wrote everything that's in this book. It wasn't just written by man. It wasn't just written by these people who got together and decided to come up with a religion. You know, I run into that a lot talking about, oh, the Bible was just written by men. No, it was written by men inspired by God. That's how it could be written over 1,600 years and not have any contradiction in it. By 40 different authors who had no way to compare notes with each other. Another popular one I run into was the Bible was changed. Well, let's deal with that in two levels. First of all, if God really wrote the book, is he so weak that he can't stop people from changing it? Jesus spoke words only knowing that they were going to be changed by people. He's that weak? No, he's not. Not at all. God can take care of his book, and God has taken care of his book. Nobody changed this thing. And don't you believe the lie someone starts to throw at you, oh, this thing was changed. That's just a cop-out. Because anyone who had studied it even further than that would understand that for, you know how many of you, you know, we read Shakespeare in high school, for example? For something to be verified as an original document or as a classic document, there has to be at least 10 to 20 copies of it available from a certain time period. And then it's considered verifiable, so you have to have at least 10 to 20. Do you know how many manuscripts in different parts and pieces that never contradict each other once there are of the Bible? About 6,400. So that's why somebody says, oh, the Bible has changed, automatically just showed me that they never actually studied or researched anything about it. If we want to talk on the level. But let me take you to the deeper level. The deeper level of is God wrote this book and he can take care of his book. He's not so weak that all these people are going to run around and change everything in it on him. It's not going to happen. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you bought into that, God loves you, and he's got an amazing plan for your life, and he gave you a book to help you. But if you allow the enemy to lie to you so you reject the book that he gave you, what hope is there for you? See, the Word of God was inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching. Everyone say, for teaching. How many of us think we need to be taught by God? Well, that's what the Word of God's here for. For reproof. Now, we don't like reproof as much. Reproof is when we're doing something wrong, and we get told we're doing something wrong. But the Word of God's good for that too. Why? Because when we read it, it shows us the areas in our life that are offline. For correction, flows in line with reproof. And for training in righteousness. In other words, training in righteousness. We're born again, we are now righteous, but we need to be trained how to live as Christians. See, every single one of you, if you know Jesus, you have this amazing, incredible power inside of you called the Holy Spirit. But you need to know how to let it out. You need to know how to live it. I actually never watched it, but I think one of the guys in our cell brought up, maybe in our cell or somebody talked about, yeah, anyone here ever watched Dragon Ball Z? Okay, we got some Dragon Ball Z fans up here. Everyone else is just going, Dragon Ball what? Yeah, some of us didn't like it. But see, what he was talking about is he said there was this character, and he comes in, and he had all this power, but he didn't know how to channel it or control it. So he just ended up hurting other people and doing all this stuff, and he had to learn how to channel and control it. Well, we're all like that. But the Word of God is what's going to train us in righteousness. And it's how God's going to speak to us and show us and train us and teach us and correct us and tell us when we're off the path and when we're on the path. Let me give you a personal example. The start of this year, God really impressed on me and spoke to me. You know, it was not through the Word, but it was through the Holy Spirit in my heart. That's something we probably won't get into this week. We'll get into next week. But when the Holy Spirit speaks in your heart, it's not some big booming voice. It's just you know. You ever had that? You just know? How many are going to heaven? Well, you can put your hand up, John. How many are you going to heaven? How do you know? Come on, prove it. You got a ticket or something? The book. All right, amen. See, you get it on. But see, for most of you, I tell you tonight, how do you know? You just say, I just know. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I was to die, I would be in heaven. I've taken God's word, I've believed it, but there's something even greater than that where the Bible says the Holy Spirit witnesses with your heart or speaks to you in your heart and shows you you're a son of God or a child of God. In other words, he speaks to you inside. And every single one of us who can say that with confidence, it wasn't like there was this huge, like,
you're going to heaven written on the wall. Did anyone here have an angel appear in your room and tell you you're going to heaven?
No.
No one have a wild, crazy-haired prophet on the street who looked kind of out there and go, you're going to heaven. He went, yes! That happened to anybody? Come on, be truthful. No, I didn't think it did. You know why? Most of us, we just knew. We knew in our hearts because the Holy Spirit showed us. That's the most powerful way. So I knew in my heart. Anyways, I don't have time to go into all that tonight, or else we'll be here another hour, and I know most of you don't want to be here another hour. Don't mind? They don't mind. Okay, well, I know some people. I might not last another hour. Anyway, so see, we've got the Holy Spirit inside and said, he said, I don't want you to speak anywhere this year besides Church Without Limits. I want you to be really focused, especially with the implementing the G12 vision. If you get opportunities to go somewhere else, they invite you, just decline. Because I want you just focused this year. So I really felt that. Well, I was getting a couple months in the year, and I've been turning down some opportunities. Now, I like speaking. I like going places and being able to share with people. It's just really cool to be able to impact people with God's Word. So it was starting to get to me a bit. So you know what I started thinking? I started thinking, because I really wanted to go, right, somewhere else. I'm just like, especially there's one place in particular I remember. I was thinking, if they asked me, I really, really want to go. And I'm like, maybe I didn't hear God totally correctly. You know, you start thinking that way, and it's just like, you know, maybe I just made that up myself. And it happens to everybody. You know, so I start thinking about it, and I'm like, and so, you know, one thing I found that helps me is I have people around me. You know, some of the problem with some of you is you're trying to live your spiritual life all by yourself. You get your butt kicked, honestly. None of us can take this alone. That's why we have church. That's why we have cells. Especially cells. That's why you need to get out to a cell. If you just go to big services all the time and sit with a bunch of people you don't know and go amen and whatever else, you don't have someone to call when you're in trouble. You have someone to get counsel. See, if I'm trying to figure out something God speaks to me, I always talk to other people I trust spiritually. Because sometimes they see things in the situation that I don't see. And sometimes, sometimes just talking something else helps. You just talk it out, and after a while, you know, once it gets outside, once it gets outside of your head, instead of just bouncing around inside your head, it starts to make a little more sense. Does that happen to anybody besides me? And see, so you need to, that's why it's so important that you have relationships and godly relationships you form. And listen, what the enemy's going to try and do to you is he's going to try and isolate you. Why? Because the Bible says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you ever watch African Lion Safari? African Lion Safari. You know, yes. So you ever watch the show? I think, that's the place down by Niagara Falls. I don't know if they had a TV show. But you ever watch it? Now, how many of you used to cheer for the lions? Monkey's not part of the story right now. I see. But how many used to cheer for, like, the gazelle? The little gazelle? Or the, okay, we got one. How many of you never watched the show? How many of you just refuse to put your hand up no matter what I say? Okay, I thought so. So anyways, all of a sudden, you watch, all right, now we're watching as the lion is creeping up closer to the pack. You know, it's like, oh no, a little baby gazelle has run away from the pack. And you're like, no, go back, there's a lion, you know, and it's just like the music starts picking up, you know, it's just like, and all of a sudden the lion starts running, and when they go into slow motion, you know, it's all over. You know, it's just like, wow, you know, and the little gazelle's, and then all of a sudden it's just like, boom, they just like, and it hits. It's like, oh, I'm too young to see this. And it's just like, you know, it's just like, yeah, you ever notice that? Or you know, those ones, they're going to get a drink and there's crocodiles in the water. You're like, do not go get a drink, you dumb zebra. There's a crocodile. You know, it's just like, he got your brother yesterday. You think you'd figure it out. And we all laugh at this, but then we all do that spiritually. When we're together, we're strong. When you don't go to church for a couple weeks, when you miss cell, you're like that little baby gazelle. Da-da-da-da. And Satan's just going to come in and boom. You've got to learn to stay together with people. Not just so they can help you, but also so you can help them. We are stronger together than we are apart. And see, the enemy wants to isolate us. He wants to get us out of there. And he wants to get you on your own where you're trying to make it by yourself. See, that's why it's important you have people that you can trust spiritually that you connect with. So anyways, I was bouncing around. So I was really starting to feel like, you know, maybe I can go some places. Maybe, do you really mean this? Did you really mean that? Like, you know, I really wanted to do what God wanted me to do, but I was having some doubts.
So that was it. And then all of a sudden I was talking with someone and I said, but you know what? I don't want to be like that prophet in 1 Kings who went to prophesy to the king. God moved. The king offered him food. He said, no, God said I have to go back to my own land. I cannot eat food nor drink. And he turned the evil king down. Then he went walking along the road, and an older prophet sent word to him and said, God told me that you could come and eat with me. The man went and ate with him, and he disobeyed God's commandment, and therefore on the way home he died. And see, the lesson we can learn from that, and I said, yeah, I don't want to be like that, because you got to watch it. If God gives you a word, and all of a sudden you get a second word from somewhere else or somebody else that contradicts what God told you in your heart, you need to ignore that. And boom, I had my answer right away. So I'm not going to preach anywhere else. You see that? Why? Because God immediately, as I was just talking, that scripture came up. God used that scripture to show me that if I went somewhere else, I would be disobeying the first word because I thought God told me something else. So I told you 3 months ago, you went to God and asked him something. You got an answer. And now you're going back to see if he changed his mind. Maybe I'm going to get a different answer now. You know what I mean? It's just like if that was the answer then, unless it's one of those things that could change quite quickly, it's the same answer you're going to get now. But see, do you see how, if I didn't know that story in the Bible, could God have spoken to me through that? Come on, talk to me here. Could I? No, he couldn't have spoken to me through that, could he? See, so it's because I knew the Word that God was able to use the Word to speak through me. So to some of you tonight, God has spoken things to you. Why? Because you're hearing the Word that's being spoken. But if you weren't here tonight hearing the Word, would God have been able to get through to you on that? You're allowed to talk to me here. Unless you're all under really deep conviction, so you're just not saying anything. One last thought. I want you to look at this book. How many remember meter sticks in school? Well, you remember those? We used to grab them and have sword fights with them. Then we get in trouble. You know, it's just like, you know, I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm Darth Vader. You know, it's just like, I would be like, hey, but man, you hit somebody with that meter stick, it hurts. I mean, it's not that bad, but it leaves a good welt on you and stuff. And see, like that. Well, see, but we weren't using those things properly. What we were supposed to use them for is so you could measure things. Right? So it shows you what a foot is. It shows you what 6 inches is. It shows you what 3 feet is. Right? You all with me? We're connecting. This is making sense. Well, see, so someone says, this is a foot. How do you really know if it is or not? Get the meter stick. And you measure it because the meter stick will show you exactly what a foot is. And you'll find out if they're telling the truth or not. How many of you have ever weighed yourself on a scale? I think y'all need to put your hand up on this one. How many ever weighed yourself on a scale and got upset at the scale? Kicked the scale, did something else, it threw the scale. It's just like it's the scale's fault or something. I don't know. Hurt the messenger. Anyways, it's just like, how many, it happens to all of us. Some of us are trying to lose weight. Some of us are trying to gain weight. Me and my brother have been hitting the weights hard, and so a couple weeks ago, he goes, I'm finally 190 pounds. Yes, yes, yes. He just like, it took so long, he just wanted to get up to 190. You know, so he made it there. Well, but see, what is the way it actually do? It you know, I could walk around, I could tell you, you know what? I weigh 230 pounds. You know, it's just, it's 230, baby, that's right. You know, and so, you know how we're really going to find out if I weigh 230 pounds or not? Here's the scale. Step right up. You know, it's just like, I weigh 23 pounds. When we get on the scale, you're going to find out how much I weigh. How much do you weigh? I haven't checked lately. No, I weigh about 190, something like that. But see, it's like, it's the standard to measure by. Now, Phil could come to me and say, you weigh 300 pounds. And someone else could come and say, you wait, did everybody ever play that joke in someone in school? Where like 8 of you got together and said, okay, we're all going to tell the same person they got something on their nose? You ever notice that's me? Now you got something on your nose. Like, no, I don't. They look inside there. Someone else goes, what's that on your nose? And by the end of the day, they're like, you know, it's just like, there's nothing on it. They're looking in the mirror. There's nothing there. What does everybody see? Well, Phil could call it and he could say, this, you know, there's something, you weigh 300 pounds. But I'd say, no, I don't. I just checked the scale, and I trust the scale more than I trust you. Well, see, the Word of God is our meter stick. The Word of God is our scale. This will show us what is really true, what God is speaking to us and what He isn't. Now, again, we don't have time to go into it tonight, you know, because you say, well, okay, but, you know, I can't flip to, like, Second Chronicles and it says, you know, thou shalt go to Ryerson. You know what I'm saying? So how do I figure that out? Well, that's where you learn to take the Word and then combine the Word with what Holy Spirit says in your spirit and learn to flow with the peace of God in you. And you can find out. But again, like I said, that's a whole other thing. So we'll probably dig into that some more next week. But see, the foundation, I just want to dig a foundation tonight. We're taking this nice and slow. Because listen, if you have heart, if you want to hear from God and you'll do anything you can to do it, you will. And if you just start digging into this book, I guarantee you, you get in tomorrow and you get your Bible, you say, God, I want you to speak to me. He will speak to you through His Word. And you say, you don't go, okay, well, see how fast I can get through my two chapters today. Mark, you say, go. You know, but you go, God, speak to me. God, talk to me through this. God, help me understand. Help me see. God will speak to you. And see, then you start learning to do it with the Word. And then you start learning to step out in faith with the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, I guarantee you will always think it's you at first. Always. Oh, it's just me making it up. You really feel like, I need to go witness that person. No, I think that's just me making it up. It's definitely not the devil telling you to go witness to that person. It's not happening that way. But, you know, that it's always going to be a battle. There's still a lot of times where I'll sense to do something, and is that me? Is that God? And I'm just like, you know how you find out sometimes? Just do it. Just step out in faith and do it. So anyways, to close off tonight, this is the foundation for hearing from God. If you want to hear from God, if you're serious about it, you know, there's some of you in here tonight, you're serious about it. There's some of you, you're not serious about it yet. You just want the quick fix. You just want your spiritual fire insurance. Make sure I don't burn in hell, get me into heaven, and don't ask me to do anything else on my way. You know, and you miss out on so much. You get to heaven, you'll be so disappointed because you'll see everything you missed out on earth that you could have gotten involved in. You'll miss out on all the fun. But see, if you're serious, you'll take this thing seriously. You say, well, I have a hard time reading the Bible. Well, start working at it. You can spend your whole time life studying this thing and still learn more. So it's not something you might pick up in one day. But you know what? If you work, find someone who knows more than you do and ask them, how do you do it? And they'll start showing you things. They'll start helping you understand things. If tonight, if you're totally new at it, start in the book of John. Read the book of John about the life of Jesus. But it's going to take some investment. You can either be a hack or you can start learning to be skilled with this thing. But listen tonight. God's desire, I'm going to close right here, is He wants to talk to every single one of us. Why don't you say again, God wants to talk to me. He wants to talk to you. If you're born again, He wants to speak to you. He wants to show you things. He wants to teach you stuff. He wants to help you learn and He wants to help you grow. But you're going to have to make a commitment to get in this book. Why? Because this is God speaking to you. When you read your Bible, it's God speaking to you. And so I encourage you, every single one this week, how many of you, you're saying, you know what, I'm going to make a commitment to take this thing more seriously this week because I want God to speak to me. Who's with me on that one? Don't put your hand up if you don't mean it. So I'm taking this thing more seriously. I'm not saying you say I'm perfect, I'm going to read it for 10 hours a day or anything else. I'm saying I'm taking this thing more seriously. I'm going to get more into it. I'm going to dig into it harder. Why? Because God will speak to you. If you go with faith and you go with heart, God will speak to you through it. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. We're going to close off.